Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. On today, I've got Evan Poling. We have some really shared territory as far as the type of businesses we work in. We're going to talk a little bit about exit planning today and selling of businesses. So for those of you in the audience that are, you know, getting closer to that side of things, this will be a very useful conversation for you. For those of you that are a little bit earlier on in the journey, it's good to know this stuff because you need to start thinking about that exit and that end. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on with you.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Evan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thank you for having me on. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. It's a nice, balmy 100 and some odd degrees here in Texas today. So it is summer. We finally caught up to it. How about yourself?
Yeah, I live in Phoenix, so a little bit hotter here. We have you beat on that front, but.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My other show, The Sense of Things, my partner on that show, co-host, is in Phoenix too. So yeah, we constantly have this conversation about, you know, but it's cool in the morning. And I'm like, yes, but it's hot enough to melt your face off in the afternoon.
That's indeed true. Very true.
Yeah. Actually, that was my favorite thing that Gary Shandling ever said, because he was originally from Phoenix and he's like, yes, but it's dry heat. And he's like, yes, but it's just dry heat. And he goes, yeah, but so's a blowtorch, but I don't want to put my face in that either.
Yeah, it's like sticking your head in an oven pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. For 3 or 4 months of the year. So, well, cool. Well, let's get started with your story. So tell us a little bit about how you got to where you're at today.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we always kind of take it back really far. You know, my father was a business owner and he had multiple businesses. You know, I just saw him kind of have some success and then fail. Then he would start up something else, have some success and then fail. And as a kid, I was very intrigued with business, helped him out with some of the business side of things. And so, you know, fast forward, got my degree in accounting, financial economics, started doing a lot of different contract roles. So learned a lot of different industries and then eventually ended up in bank compliance with AML, which stands for anti-money laundering, and did a lot of
super exciting.
Yeah. I mean, there are some cool stories. You see some pretty gnarly stuff, but, you know, within that, I was able to really open up the personal finances of business account holders. I was able to see where their money was coming from, where it was going to. And I really started understanding industries so at a different level, because my job was just to understand if the money was legitimate and the activity was legitimate or if it was suspicious, if there was some criminal activities going on. And so understanding supplier relationships, customer relationships, you know, what you know, do they have a storefront, you know, doing geolocations and background checks. And so really analyzing business at a very high level. You know, then fast forward a little bit after that, kind of got sucked up into the social media hype that's really kind of going around for a few years now. You know, buy a business, zero money down. It's super easy. People are giving away businesses, you know, kind of that narrative. And I'm like, you know what, I've looked at a lot of businesses. My dad was a business guy. I could totally do this. Let's start looking for businesses. And I did that. And then in comes business brokers. So my experience with business brokers specifically was, you know, you would reach out. They would reach out to you. A couple days later, you would sign an NDA. It would take 2 or 3 days later. You'd get like a packet. You'd ask some questions. Then a week later, you get some answers. The answers kind of suck. You got to ask more questions. And so by the time you get a handful of questions answered, it's three or four weeks in the process, and I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, I have money. I'm ready to buy a business. I'm serious about this. Let's get the show on the road, and really kind of start thinking about that. I was like, is this kind of a normal thing? And did some research and found out business brokers really are integral part of the business buying experience. And I asked myself, there has to be a better way to do this. And so that's kind of propelled me on my journey of starting my company called BizRetire.com.
I like it. So it's interesting you see it from that perspective, because, you know, it's so funny when I talk to business broker friends of mine, it's like they don't really want to cultivate the buyer side for some weird reason. I just don't understand it. I think if I was sitting in that seat, I would be out there actively cultivating buyers, because, I mean, and I saw your statistic, which is absolutely true, that you have on your website, 80% of businesses put up for sale never sell.
Yep.
I mean, that's the scary reality of this. You know, it is the scary reality of especially what I would consider the end of the baby boomer generation. The front edge has already been through this, but the backside of the baby boomer generation, they didn't really build businesses to sell. They were basically building a job, and nobody wants to buy a job at that point. What are you seeing, you know, as you started to, first off, tell us a little bit about BizRetire and what your concept is, first off.
Yeah, you know, I had to ask myself, why is the industry doing things the way they're doing it? There has to be some benefit to a business broker, right? Obviously, they wouldn't exist. And there has to be a benefit to these large online marketplaces, otherwise they wouldn't exist. And so started doing some research, and, I was actually listening to one of your podcasts previously. You guys talked about $100 million offers. And really kind of analyzing the offer of a business broker and an online marketplace, and kind of seeing that those offers are really not great offers for people who are looking to buy or sell a business. On the business broker side, what you have is I coin it as the failure tax. And so if a business broker only sells one out of five businesses, the business owner that sells the business has to pay the failure tax of the commission for the four other that they're going to sell. So they spend time and energy listing those businesses. So there's listing fees. They spend time and energy, you know, vetting buyers that are, you know, potentially bad buyers. You know, they're sending emails, educating owners that it will never sell. Maybe businesses go to the closing table and shut down. And so that offer is not really great. Like, hey, I'm going to sell your business, but you got to pay for all the failures of the other four businesses that I list. And so that offer is not a really great or attractive offer. If we were to have that offer in any other kind of setting, we would probably deny that offer. The second is that, you know, the smaller businesses typically face a larger commission than the bigger businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's tiered kind of like tax brackets. But the problem is, and you kind of alluded to this before the show, if your business only worth $200,000 and you're getting a 20% commission, you think about taxes, you think about advisory fees, you think about lawyers, you think about all this other stuff, business owner might only be walking away with less than half of their business. And, you know, to me, it didn't really sit right with me that after 40 years of building something, serving your community, that you walk away with less than half of what you built. And, you know, a lot of those owners are kind of walking into this scenario thinking, well, I need every dollar of this to retire well. And so they're kind of blindsided if they even sell their business at all. And so that's the business broker side of things. And then on the marketplace, one of the largest marketplaces out there, I'm not going to say their name, but they have 250,000 free buyers. And so if I go to list my business as a business on that marketplace, that sounds really great. There's 250,000 buyers. But the problem is there's no barrier to entry. These buyers can literally contact me. And the problem is then you start getting buyers that were like me thinking I can get a business with no money down. And next thing you know is the business is walking in this marketplace receiving 100,000 emails. And 90-95% of those buyers haven't even got financing.
Are totally unqualified. Yeah.
Yeah. Unqualified buyers, right? And so, and then on the other hand of things, 90% of those listings are listed by brokers. So who do you think that marketplace cares more about? The broker relationships of the entities that have these large marketing budgets that are going to pay tens of thousands of dollars towards the website, or they don't care about the mom and pop that spends $70 a month maybe on the listing. They don't care about business owners. And so both of these, and it sucks for the buyers too. If I'm a buyer, I don't want to compete against 250,000 other people. I don't want to be contacting owners that are fatigued and tired and just fed up with buyers, right? You know, and so from the buyer perspective, from the seller perspective, both of these options really suck. And so I created a, these retires kind of like if a good broker and a good listing place had a baby. And so I try to think about like, what is a good offer, right? No commissions. You know, if a business owner talks to me, right now I'm giving away free listings to business owners. And then I'm monetizing on the buyer side. So the buyers pay to contact the owners. And a lot of owners are buyers are turned away by that. But what I would say to them is they're not really serious to begin with. If they want to go on a large marketplace, compete with 250,000 buyers, spend 6 months to a year looking for a business, or know that if they go on BizRetire, they pay and they send a message to our owners, those owners are going to contact them almost immediately. And we're going to have that one-on-one conversations with the owners. So the owners know the buyers are serious, that they have skin in the game. And then the buyers know they don't have to compete and they can have that direct off-market, on-market deal flow. And so it really is a win-win for everyone involved. And so that's really what BizRetire is. And that's kind of my analytics of the marketplace and what I'm trying to do, disrupt.
No, I think, and it's a brilliant take on it. You know, I mean, it is literally if a good business broker and a marketplace had a good or had a baby, it's the one that it should be. I mean, it sounds very good. How are you finding your business owners and your buyers?
That's the $1 million question. Finding the business owners is tough because they're working 68 hours a week. They're kind of living under this assumption that, you know, hey, I'm going to just put my business on the marketplace that makes good money and I'm just going to sell it. You know, it's just going to, I mean, I'm making, you know, good money. Someone else will want to make good money. So it's sellable. And so they really they're not problem aware. And so finding them is only half the battle. The other half is they have to be aware that there's a problem or they're not going to pursue any option. And so that has been the bottleneck. The buyers are a cinch. I get a listing, I put it on, I put it on social media, and I get, you know, 50 buyer signups just from that listing. So I don't really ever advertise to buyers ever. And so, and then I want to dial back a little bit. So my model is connecting. So BizRetire is a connecting point. I connect owners and buyers directly together, but then I'm connecting both of those to advisors. And so my take is on if you're an owner and you're not paying a commission, you might as well hire like a exit planner or an accountant or a lawyer, spend a small fraction of that the piece you would have spent on a commission to hire an expert. And so I've been building out referral partners where I send owners to referral partners to work with them so that their business is more sellable. And then same thing on the buyer side, buyer coaches, people who bought businesses, you know, course people who sell courses for buyers, that kind of thing. Because I also think that if they want to be competitive and be successful post sale, they also need to invest in themselves and in the process. Sure. And so BizRetire is kind of a triangle. It's not just buyers and sellers.
Makes sense. So what's your monetization strategy then? So is it just strictly the signups for the buyer side then?
Yeah, right now, because the sellers are the bottleneck. I think that's the hard audience to get. There's a million advisors, there's a million buyers, there's not as many sellers, and you can't recreate or reproduce sellers as easily. And so it really is about obtaining the sellers, and then I'm monetizing either on the buyer side or on the advisor side. So there'll be like referral fee structure for that.
Okay. Makes sense. You know, I mean, I see this, you know, honestly, I've worked with business brokers for years, and usually the position I've been in with a lot of my business broker friends is, you know, I heard them tell me the statistic before, you know, let's say they have 10 swings at bat of potential clients that they get, only two are really ready for a sale. The eight, you know, the other eight aren't there yet. 5 of them are possibly salvageable. 2 of those are just a mess, and there's no way in hell that they're going to make it. And, you know, 1 of them is basically just going out of business at that point. There's no way that they could ever be salvaged. How do you kind of handle that? I mean, because so many people come in with the pretty baby. You know, my baby is the most beautiful baby in the world. And everybody else that looks at him is like, oh my God, that's the ugliest baby I've ever seen. So how do you handle that type of situation?
I really don't handle it. And, you know, I'm not really trying to fix these businesses. I'm just trying to get them on the marketplace. And what I think is that if they're listed and they don't get any contact, there comes a point when they have to either, hey, Evan, you have an advisor referral program. Like, I don't know what the heck's going on. Like, what's going on with my business? Why is no one reaching out? Okay, let me refer you to somebody who can help you with that. Let me give you the real expert. Good. Or the buyer is like, they contact them. Hey, your baby's ugly and need some facial surgery. You know, it's pretty bad. And so then, you know, the market beats them up, and unfortunately that's kind of the strategy that business brokers employ anyways. They put them on the market and kind of let the market beat them up.
You know, it's just the difference is they'll charge them $20,000 to list the business. You're not charging them $20,000 to list their business at that point.
Yeah. And I think there is too, I think there's work that needs to be on the buyer side, because I think for a lot of buyers, they need to go buy a business that's a job. You know, we kind of poo-poo on these businesses that are jobs. And of course, we all want a cash flowing business where we're not working. We're sitting on some beachfront, sipping, you know, margaritas, enjoying life. But the reality is that, you know, some of these businesses are in small towns that communities really rely on. And, you know, some of these businesses are getting bought up by private equity, and some of these communities are really losing their soul. And there's buyers out there that maybe they're not able to run a $2-3 million business, but maybe they're hardworking. They've been in the industry long enough. They're smart enough. They can get enough financing together to, you know, maybe even a small down payment and work the job, build the business into something that's valuable, and then buy another business that they want. And so I'm really hoping, so, you know, we're really targeting businesses that are $2 million and under, because another one of the problems with the way that we buy and sell businesses is 91% of businesses in the United States fall under $1 million in revenue. But the problem is that 95% of the advisors, 95% of the buyers are looking for businesses above that. And so there's a huge discrepancy here where it's like the reality is this thing, but, you know, the expectation is this thing. And so, you know, I don't know if there needs to be more education or more people that are buying these boring businesses and conglomerating them, or, you know, these jobs. I don't know, but I feel like there's a real opportunity moving forward to buy these jobs, make them something good or repeatable, or turn them.
You know, that's the key. It's like, okay, you're not necessarily, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with buying a job. You know, it's somebody else has just not had the vision. They can't take it to that next level. It's okay to come in and buy the job and then flip it around. I mean, honestly, you're going to get a much less value, or you're going to get a business that has less value for you to buy, and then you improve it and make lots more money on it. And, you know, you could flip that business later on, you know, at some point too. Or, you know, okay, you get it to the point where you have a team running it and everything else.
Well, and there's less risk. You know, we don't really talk about the dark side of things. People taking out an SBA loan and they buy it off more than they can chew. And then the business goes belly up and they lose their house. They lose, you know, their marriage. They lose, you know, all this stuff that's really important. And so, I really think that these smaller businesses is the wave of the future. And I think for a lot of these buyers have kind of been lulled into this fake vision of what it looks like. And, you know, and I kind of harped on seller financing, but for some of these businesses that are job, there might be a huge potential for a large chunk of those businesses to go up for seller financing, especially if they are a job.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, in most cases, when I work with a client and they're selling a business, I mean, owner financing is a way to do it. I mean, one, when I sold my business, I sold it. I took the owner financing back to my partner who, you know, is paying me off over time. And it worked out perfectly. You know, one, I knew him, I knew the business. So I knew what the cash flow was and it was not as a risky thing for me. Yeah. Would I have liked to add all the money up front? Of course. But the reality is most businesses don't have the kind of cash flow or internal assets to be able to do that. And most buyers don't have the juice to just come in and pay cash for a business, nor do they want to a lot of times. Right. You know, especially if they're on a major acquisition phase, they don't want to put all their money into one business because they want to be able to buy multiple businesses at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And yeah. So, I mean, that's the problem I'm trying to solve. I feel like, you know, my heart kind of aches. You know, I've talked to widows where, you know, the husband dies and I'm sure you've had this experience too, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, there was no plan. And then she's got to sell the house because they got bills to pay. The crew that was running the business decided to charge her double because they knew that she needed them. Scumbags.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, so it's just like, it's sad. These is real consequences. And, you know, a broker locking in a business owner and then kind of like putting them up to bat and kind of hoping that their future, it's kind of sleazy, honestly. You know, at least with us where it's like, hey, you're going to list it on there and there's no guarantee you may or may not sell it, but we have advisors if you ever choose to do that.
Well, I mean, so, if you realize, okay, I'm getting these really low offers on my business, maybe there's a problem. You know, maybe you need to step back for a second, retool a little bit and then come back at it from that point, you know, and I totally agree. I mean, I think it makes complete sense. And I think there has been a need for quite a long time for what you're doing. So I applaud you on doing this because there is a massive hole in that below $2 million space. Most cases, most business brokers don't even want to touch them. You know, you might find an attorney. Well, you'll find attorneys that'll negotiate the deal, but somebody that's actively out there looking to connect you with buyers, they're just not, you know, it's just not out there at that point. Right. So,
yeah. And I find, you know, even though I'm at that 2.5 million threshold or that revenue, I'm actually finding businesses that are above that or that are even interested in this model, which was a surprise to me.
Well, I think in a lot of cases they're looking at, well, okay, this business broker is going to charge me a fortune, you know, to do this. And a lot of people just don't want to pay a huge commission to anybody in those cases. They just want to be connected with a potential buyer or a couple potential buyers and, you know, set up a bidding war and see who's willing to pay the most for the business and all that. And, you know, I think if you are a reasonably decent negotiator and you've got a good attorney that can work with you to help negotiate the deal and everything else, because it's going to get to that point where the attorneys are going to step in, even with a business broker, and they're the ones that are going to be finalizing the deal and negotiating and everything else, makes complete sense in those cases. Right. So love it. Yep. Well, cool. Anything new in your world that you're getting ready to launch or you want to share with us?
You know, just, you know, I'm a startup founder, so just always trying to find that lead flow. You know, that's the grind. You know, I'm doing camera stuff. I'm doing, you know, website editing. I'm doing quality control testing on a website, complaints, and I'm doing Facebook ads and, you know, all this. So just learning a lot of stuff that I never thought as like a logic brain person, right? AML guy. So it's been a wild ride. So there's always something new going on, I feel like. So
yeah. But, welcome to the world of being a founder. I always say CEO, chief everything officer, a lot of times at the beginning. So
that's a good one. I'll have to remember that. Chief everything officer. Love it.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the fast five questions. Okay.
Sure.
All right. So let's start off. You wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, a place to live, food and clothing. What are you going to do first?
I'm going to log on to Facebook Marketplace and find some stuff that I can buy and resell. So
I love it.
Or it's a $10 dresser I can, you know, sand down and paint and sell for $200, or furniture or something. I'm gonna make some money.
Make some quick money and move on from there. Perfect.
Yep.
Second thing, what's your biggest business mistake that you've ever made?
So far it's been, there's a thing called Iron Triangle. There's speed, quality, and price. And you can only have two of the three. I chose price and quality, and it took me, took me 6 to 7 months to launch my website. And that put me 6 to 7 months behind. So I should have just paid the extra, $3,000-$4,000 and gotten it in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think there's some good to doing that though, of kind of learning the process, because there's a lot of shysters out there. And speaking from someone that owns an SEO agency, there's a lot of shysters out there, just absolute horrible people out there that, you know, they're just taking your money and they don't deliver results and stuff. So sometimes learning it, it takes a little longer sometimes, but it's worth it. And now you know all the parts that are there, and you can have better conversations with people. So don't discount that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a learning cost. Right. It's valuable.
Oh yeah. What's a book that you'd recommend for our audience?
You know, I'm a religious guy. I believe the Bible. I think if you're not right, spiritually, physically, emotionally, you're going to chase after the wrong things. For me, my business is not about profit. It's about impact. And I think if you have positive impact in the world, profits will follow that. And so people who just seek profit for profit's sake will end in either in a very sad, depressed state or in jail for fraud.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. What's a tool that you use in your business that you might recommend?
That's a good question. I'm a startup founder, so everything is unautomated, messy. There's no really good procedures. I haven't really cracked the code yet, so there's no specific tool. But I've been using video editing software a lot, so for shorts and videos and stuff. So Premiere Pro.
Okay, cool. You might want to check out Descript too. Premiere. Adobe kind of drives me a little nuts, just because it's not very user friendly. Descript we use for all of our editing, everything from videos to audio to transcripts. I mean, it's pretty badass. So I'd recommend that one too.
I'll have to check that one out.
It's a really, really terrific tool. So, and it's when you edit, so like Premiere Pro, you have to go in and break stuff up and cut and paste and all that in the script. You basically edit from the script itself, from the transcript. So if you're, adding something into it, you just go to where the word is and you just split it, pop in whatever you want to at that point, and it just kind of works off of the script.
Oh, okay. So, interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Pretty cool. It's a good tool. So yeah, I mean, I used Premiere Pro for years, and then we shifted to Descript and have used it ever since. All right, last question for you. What is your definition of freedom?
Wow, freedom. This is one I struggle with, because I thought it was being a business owner, but it's a different type of slavery, right? So
you built the most beautiful prison with the worst warden ever, because they go home with you every day.
Yeah, that's the illusion I want to paint. Financial freedom, all this other BS. My definition of freedom is heaven, man. I don't know. No worries, no concerns, and just being in eternal bliss. That's. I don't think we're going
to
see that.
Hopefully we'll get you to that before you get to that point. So yes, that's the ultimate freedom, but hopefully you get there sooner than that. So.
I live a blessed life. My life is good. You know, I have nothing to complain about. So I guess that's the next step.
I love it. Love it. Well, Evan, if somebody is interested in learning a little bit more about Biz Retire or any of the stuff that you're doing, where's the best place to find you on the internet?
Yeah, I have social media everywhere. I'm most active on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X. Okay. But you can email me directly at connect@bizretire as well.
Okay, very cool. And it's bizretire.com.
That's correct. Yep.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, Evan, thank you for being on the show. Really appreciate your honesty, and I really applaud what you're doing. Look forward to staying in contact with you on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you so much, Jeff.
You are welcome. Well, folks, thanks for joining us. Once again, please subscribe to the show wherever you're watching or listening to this, and we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.